This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning into our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
We've shared our theme that we exist so that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. It will be literally impossible for any one of us to fulfill our potential in Christ without spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is necessary in order for us to become who God created us to be. We said last week that personal growth should be a life goal for every one of us. I would say today, spiritual growth should also be a life goal for every believer. Amen? Spiritual growth, growing spiritually, ought to be a goal for all of us. The reason why that needs to be a goal is because it's not automatic. Just because you're a Christian, just because you come to church, doesn't mean in it of itself that you will grow spiritually. There's a level of effort, there's a level of commitment, and there's a change that needs to happen. And so said differently, God expects all of us to change, first of all, and then grow so that we can become more like him. How many already figured out that we cannot become more like him unless we change some things in our lives? Amen. That you and I, all of us have some things that are not like Jesus. And as long as those things remain in our lives, we will never make progress in becoming more like Jesus. So spiritual growth cannot happen unless we commit to change in our lives. Changing, removing the things that keep us away from Christ. And as I said, I want to just reiterate this. There is a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. Amen? How can I simplify it? I'll simplify it this way. A believer can simply believe. A disciple believes and does. That's the difference. A believer believes, but doesn't necessarily always do. Just believes. Just like we believe in healthy eating. We believe it. We believe we should exercise daily. We believe it. Some of us are believers in good eating. A few of you are disciples. Amen? I would say my wife is a disciple of healthy eating. I'm a believer. By the way, thank you to all of you that have brought Meal Train to our home as she recovers from her surgery. It's been great. When she first told me we did a meal train, you know, as we do, you know, people bring food on every day. And I said, babe, why'd you do that? Like, we don't need that. We're fine. Like, you know, save it for somebody else. And so somehow they twisted her arm and did a meal train. And so I was a little like apprehensive, not happy about it, not excited about it. And by the third day, I'm like, who's bringing us dinner tonight? And I've had many of you, in your own cute way, make that point. I've had at least, I won't call you out, but you know who you are. They'll say, hey, pastor, we signed up to do a meal train. We know Sister Angie likes to eat healthy, but what do you want? And therein lies the difference between a believer and a disciple. So I won't ask you to raise your hand or say amen, but I would think a lot of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, are believers. I wonder how many of us truly are disciples. You know I love you, right? Here we go. What did Jesus ask his disciples to do? Matthew 28:19. This is what Jesus told them. He told his disciples, this is the Great Commission. Go and make believers. Yeah? Go and make people that go to church on Sundays. Go to people that don't go to Growth Track. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What is the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Therefore, we baptize in his name. Teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. So that was and still is the assignment. That was the assignment for his disciples. That's my assignment here. These pastors, that's our assignment. Not just believers. We're not creating a social club. And we're not just creating people that check boxes. Our assignment is to create and to reach and to teach disciples. The word disciple here is important. Because as Jesus said that word, the word disciple means a student, a learner, a full follower, or rather someone that lives it. Amen? So this is beyond, I agree, there's a higher power. Oh, that's great. Oh, I know there's a force. Oh, yeah, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. I'm very connected with spirituality. Okay, cool. Now, do you do the things connected with that? Otherwise, you might only be a believer, but not yet a disciple. And the calling is to be a disciple, not just a believer. Amen? Teaching them to observe. Everybody say observe. That's a very interesting word here. Because the word observe here doesn't mean to just watch for entertainment. Just watch for amazement. This is almost like if you go to a gym and there's a personal trainer showing you how to do a certain exercise, right? You're watching them, but the intent is not just to watch them and go home. How many would love to go to that gym? You can just watch the trainer do the exercises. You go home and you get toned. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just go there for an hour. Let's even pretend you can even sweat a little bit. And the trainer's going at it. And you go home and you get toned. That's the same as you coming to church, watching Pastor Sam preach. Watch me work out and then go home expecting that something drastic is going to happen in your life. No, the only way you get the benefit is if you watch and then do. I'm sweating, you're not. The goal is for all of us to be disciples, not just a student that learns, not just a learner, but a full follower, someone that lives it, someone that embodies it, someone that repeats what they see. And so the goal of that, teaching them to observe all the things I commend, the goal of that is so that we could eventually live and become more and more like Jesus. How many go, that ought to be the goal of every Christian, right? Every day a little bit more. We'll never get there, by the way. We'll never get there. He's perfect, we're not. But we can try. And that's the effort God wants to see in our lives. Amen? Now, let me go on this thread. The disciple that was the closest to Jesus was John. We talked about that before. So listen to what John writes about this. A lot of us said we're believers. Are we disciples? Here's the test. 1 John 2. John said this. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. We know we have come to know him if we go to church on Sunday. We know we have come to know him if we believe he exists and he's the Savior. No, no. We know evidence, facts. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. But if we claim to know him and don't obey him, we are lying and the truth isn't in our hearts. We truly love God only, everybody say only, when we sing pretty. Only when we say amen. We truly love God only when we obey him as we should. And then we know we belong to him. If we say we are his, we must follow the example of Christ. You cannot call yourself a Christian and be a jerk. You can't call yourself a Christian and do gossip all the time. You can't call yourself a Christian and cheat on things, especially your loved ones. Why? Because a Christian means Christ-like. And God doesn't do that. So to be Christ-like, I gotta evaluate, how do I live? How do I talk? How do I treat others? And so the true test of Christianity, I don't care how much you know. At the end of the day, is how do you and I live our lives? That's the actual fact. There's a lot of folks that know a lot of Bible and don't do it. You know folks like that? They know a lot of Bible. And when you mess up, they'll tell you. But they don't live it. That's the test we are held to. How do you actually live your life? When no one's watching, when you're not at church on Sunday, when it's just you and non-believers, how do you handle yourself? The last part is so powerful here. Verse 5 and 6. We truly love God only when we obey him. Obedience to God is really at the core of this. And this is the question we got to be asking ourselves. Am I obedient to God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Then read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. What God told us to. Now you're being disobedient. The problem with a lot of us is not that we don't do. For a lot of us, we just don't know. And the only way you know what God wants you to do is to read the Bible. And I wanted to plant this seed today because starting next Sunday, we begin 21 days of prayer and fasting. A big part of what that's good for is to detox ourselves of the things that are not right. 21 days to get rid of the things, the habits, the thoughts, the things, the friends, the relationships, all that illegal, unethical, immoral, ungodly stuff we do, 21 days, get it out. Flush it from the system. You don't have to wait. You can start today, but you get my point. The true test is how do I live? And obedience to God is really at the core of it all. Obedience, everybody say obedience to God. And mind you, for all of us, there's different things God wants us to do. We have different callings, different assignments. I've shared with you that growing up in church, being a pastor's kid, the last thing I wanted to do was be a pastor. I did not want to be, it's the last thing I wanted to do. Like, honest to God, honestly, I hated it. I hated ministry. I hated pastors. I just didn't like, I grew up with it. It's too much. I want nothing to do with it. As I began to grow into my late teens, early 20s, I felt this call on my life for ministry. And I literally fought with God. I don't want this. God, I believe in you. I'll do anything else except that. I don't want that. But I found out God is stubborn. Just as you already found out, like, God will not stop calling you. God will not stop pursuing. He's like relentless. He won't stop. So you know, talk to Pastor Ruben and Sister Alma Porras. They were my youth pastors when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. They were my youth pastors. And they can tell you, we spent many a night in the church parking lot till 1, 2, 3 in the morning debating things, fighting things, arguing. Didn't want this. Didn't want this. But at some point in my early 20s, I understood if I want my life to be blessed and if I really want to be fulfilled in my heart, I need to obey God. Now, I could have been a believer and not been a pastor. Could have done that. I could have been a believer. But I would not have obeyed what God wanted me to do. And I'm not saying all of us are pastors. I'm just saying God wants you to do certain things. And at some point, you're going to have to make a choice as to whether you obey God or you don't. And it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to overcome some traumas, and you're going to have to overcome some things in your life. And you're going to have to fight through it. And so the question is, are you willing to be obedient to God for whatever it is God's calling you to do? Now, show of hands. How many of you know, show of hands. How many of you know, like as a matter of fact, you know, there are some things you know God wants you to do that you haven't yet done. It's Sunday, don't lie. Right? So that hand is part of the journey from believer to disciple. You can stay stuck in believer all your life and never enjoy the blessings that come with obedience. You can be a believer all your life. You might get saved, but you still would miss out on the blessings, the calling, the joy, the satisfaction, the fulfillment that comes when you know you're doing God's will. I'm a blessed man. I'm a happy guy. Ask my wife. I wake up smiling. You know why? Because in my heart, I know I'm doing what God called me to do. It wasn't easy. It wasn't automatic. It was a battle for years. But once I say, okay, God, I'm going to do this, my life's been awesome. Because I know I'm aligned with His will. That's what I want you to have. Whatever it is God wants you to do, whatever those obedient things are that you've delayed, whatever those obedient steps are that you've deferred, whatever those obedience things are that you've procrastinated on, I am telling you, on the other side of obedience, there's a blessing. Let me say that again. On the other side of obedience, there is a blessing. And you're like, God bless me. And God's telling you, obey. The blessing is on the other side of obedience. You want the walls of Jericho to come down? March around. What? No. Why don't you knock them down and then I'll praise you? No, march around. 7 days. I don't know about you, but if I was part of those folks, I would have felt like a fool. This is so dumb. What are we doing? What are we doing? I would be the guy that would be pushing the wall. Still solid. 7 days. 7 days, nothing happened to the wall. 7 days, nothing happened to the wall. But you know what was happening in 7 days? Obedience was being built up in their hearts. The ultimate test on the seventh day, do 7 laps. How many of you would have been gassed by the 3rd lap? We got to get in shape. Obedience. Once you do that, then the miracle happens. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm telling you, you want God, you want to see God do greater things in your life, amen? God wants to see you do greater things in your life. You don't have to say amen. I know it's true. Check this out. Jesus said this to his disciples. Whoever wants to be my disciple. You're like, no, I'll be a believer. No. Whoever wants to be a disciple, you got to do 3 things. Same thing then, same thing today. You and I are serious about being disciples. You and I are serious about having a relationship with God. You and I are serious about this being for the rest of our lives. How many of you, when you got baptized, made that commitment, this is going to be for the rest of my life? Amen? It's not just for the season. No, it's for the rest of our lives. And so it takes some commitment to that. Now, if you want to be my disciple, Jesus said, you got to do these three things. These are the these were the same requirements back then. Same three things we got to do today. Number one, and it's number one for a reason, because it is number one. The number one thing you and I need to overcome in order to truly become disciples of Christ is we have to be willing to deny ourselves. That really means to empty out whatever is not godly. Deny myself. Any thought, any feeling, any emotion, any plan, any habit, any hobby, any relationships, any friends, anything I do that's not godly, I gotta say no to it, even though I want to say yes. We have a sinful nature. And our sinful nature is always going to crave to do sinful things. Now, my sinful cravings might be different than yours. You've battled yours, I gotta battle mine. Some of you might only have three things you're fighting against. Some of us have 20 things we got to overcome. Whatever it is, step one is the willingness to say, I want to do this thing that's sinful. I enjoy doing this thing that's not godly. I like going to places, hanging out with people, saying things, doing things that I know make God cringe. And as much as I like it and I enjoy it, I'm going to deny myself doing it any longer because I want to please God. Pleasing God is more important to me now than doing the things I used to enjoy doing. That's denial. That's denying yourself of the things you want to do in order to get something better. Let me remind you of this. Anything you ever give up in order to please God pales in comparison to what God will give you in response to your obedience. Don't settle for the cheap thing. Obey God for the greater thing. You gotta do that though. So deny myself is number one. I gotta deny myself. And that's hard because we don't want to deny ourselves. A lot of us grew up wanting to have ice cream for breakfast. And our parents would not give it to us. But now that I'm a grown up, I still want to have ice cream for breakfast. But I hopefully have enough sense to know that's not good for me. I deny. How many of you, let's talk about weight for a second. How many of you easily, this week, without too much effort, easily could gain 5 pounds? Easily. My hand's up. I know how to do it. I have experience. 5 pounds, 1 week. Right? You want to gain 10? Go on a cruise. All you can eat buffet all day, every day? Oh, God. Losing 5 pounds? Can I be honest with you? For the last month, I've tried to lose 5 pounds. As of this morning, I did. Hold on, no, hold on. It took me a month. Even last night, you know, my wife came to the Radiant. By the way, women, woo, come on. They crushed it yesterday. What a wonderful event the women had. And so, you know, she had surgery and she was here and all that. And she was tired. She went to bed early because she was out. So it's 8:30 at night. She's asleep. The girls are with the youth at the beach somewhere. I'm home alone. And I start getting this, little snack sounds good. Anybody get the night snacks? Oh, that's my people right there. I could skip breakfast every day. I actually do most days, but right around 9 to 11, the house is quiet. Angie's asleep. That's usually when I start working on my sermons and, you know, catching up on things. How many know 9 to 11 is like beautiful snack time? And I'm like, ooh, I feel like something salty, something spicy. Something with like hot sauce and lemon, like let's make something, ooh, come on. And then I finish that and I'm like, oh God, something sweet. I got to buy something sweet. Give me a little raspberry zinger with a little bit of milk, a little cheesecake or something. Ooh, we got ice cream in the fridge, what? A little sweet, ooh, that was good. I think a little salty again, I need salty again. Chip, listen. Losing 5 pounds required me to say no like 837 times in the last month. It's hard to say no to things your body craves. And folks, till the day you die, your body will crave sin. And it takes discipline and obedience to say no to things you want to say yes to. And the question becomes, do you want to be a disciple or not? Number one, the maturity, the discipline, the consistency of denying myself. Secondly, take up my cross. This is willful sacrifice. Again, this is not, Pastor Tripoli, here's your cross. No, this is deny yourself, and then you pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. What are the things you're willing to pick up that will be difficult? You notice Jesus picked up his cross, amen? He had to carry his cross. What is the cross you have to carry? Let me tell you something, folks. There are some sinful cravings. There are some sinful cravings in your life that will never go away. For the rest of your life, you're going to have to carry that. You have to carry that. God, take it away. Well, that would be easy. No. You got to deny yourself. You got to pick up your cross, your willingness to sacrifice. And in some cases, in most cases, our willingness to suffer. I know we talk, oh, you got to be blessed. No. Part of being a Christian is suffering. Allowing yourself to suffer. Praising God through your suffering. Having faith in the middle of the suffering. Not giving up in the middle of the hardship. Sticking it out. That is something. That's a cross we got to take up. And then, and only then, these things are sequential. First, the willingness to empty out what's not right in our lives. That's for us to do. Number two, to willfully pick up our cross, carry that. And number three, and only after one and two are done, is to actually follow him. Not the concept of Jesus, but the example of Jesus. Not the belief in who Jesus was only, but the following of the example of how he lived his life. That is where it's at. I'm going to talk fast, listen fast. Matthew 16. For whoever wants to save their life, in other words, whoever wants to change nothing, I want to believe in God, but I don't want to change anything. I believe it. I'll go to church, but don't ask me to change my ways. I believe in Jesus, but don't ask me to give up this stuff. Don't ask me to change that. I'll come to church. Sure, I'll sit with you. I'll even say amen once in a while. But if you want me to change, no. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. In other words, there are a lot of people, maybe some here this morning, you're okay believing in Jesus as long as you get to keep your old sinful life. You're okay coming to church as long as I don't have to change anything. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their old sinful life, for me, will find it. This is a willingness to embrace a new way of life. Not just a new belief, a new way of life. A new way of living. A new way of behaving. A new way of talking. A new way of treating people. A new way of honoring God. It's a whole new lifestyle. This is not just about believing in your mind. This is about a lifestyle that proves it. Verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So understand, in this decision to obey and follow Christ, get rid of the old stuff, get rid of the sinful stuff, really change our lives. What's really at stake here is our eternal soul. That's what's at stake. This is not just about tomorrow. This is not just about this habit. This is not just about this thing. This is about your eternal soul. That's why this matters. And that's why we have to become disciples. Amen. Folks, jails today, jails are full of believers. How many people walk around with a cross tattooed on their arm? Doing all kinds of sinful things. If you go to downtown to all the clubs last night, you find all kinds of crosses. Getting drunk and high, sleeping around. You believe? Yeah, I believe. That's great. How's that belief working for you? A belief that doesn't change your life is empty. So how do we actually get there? I hope today you leave this morning saying in your own heart, I don't just want to be a believer. I want to be a disciple. I need to get to the next level. Some of you are wondering, why is God not doing anything? I got baptized and nothing's changed. It's because you haven't changed. You haven't been willing to let go of things. So, how do we do this? Last verse, and I'll finish here. John 15:5. Beautiful words from Jesus. He used this illustration. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is out of this vital union with Christ, you can do nothing. He told his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's a bit of the same concept of I am the teacher, you're the disciples, right? That's really what he was telling them. And if you really want to grow and become a disciple of Christ, that's the importance of connection. You cannot grow if you're disconnected. You cannot grow if you're not plugged into Christ. That's why over the next 3 weeks, prayer, fasting, we're going to connect with Christ. How many of you, can we just be honest this morning? How many of you recognize you need a stronger connection with Christ right now? Like a strong, you got to be stronger connection. That's what we need. That's how change happens. Apart from Christ, you will not grow. Apart from that connection, you will not advance in what God's calling you to do. So, I'll just lastly say this. This is how you separate the pretenders from the contenders. If you and I are for real, starting today, we need to unplug from our old ways and fully connect with Christ. You have the plug. This outlet is sin. This outlet is God. You decide what port you go in. This morning, as we all stand, I want to encourage those of us that can honestly say, you know what? I want to be a disciple. I need to connect stronger. If that's you, would you come to this altar? Come on, let's begin this journey. We don't have to wait till next week to start. We can start right now. I don't want to settle for just being a believer. I want to be a disciple. If you know what are the things that are keeping you from that, come, bring them to God. Say, God, help me overcome this. God, give me the strength to overcome my laziness. Give me the strength to overcome my doubts. Give me the strength to overcome my excuses. God, I'm tired of floundering. I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of not advancing. God, I know there's something greater for me, but God, help me. Give me the strength to say no to those things that are holding me back. Come on, some of us some bad habits we got to get rid of. Come bring it to God. Say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe it's a mindset of negativity. Maybe it's a mindset that you're not enough. Maybe it's a mindset of hurt. Maybe it's a mindset of victimhood that's holding you back. God, I'm tired. This is holding me back. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. God, I want to be more like you. Church, don't settle for just being a believer.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.